Hello, Van. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, so I was working as a valet in Tacoma, downtown Good Sam. Early in the morning, guy was trying to get ahead of his yard work and was doing some gutter cleaning. Slipped and fell through his ladder, and his leg went halfway through one of the rungs, and he fell backwards and broke his leg. Neighbor found him and got and brought him in. Guy came in with his bones sticking out of his leg.
Oh.
That'll be the worst thing that I saw as a valet there. He's yelling at me to get help. Again, I'm a valet. The most help I can do is get a nurse, you know what I mean? But that was probably the worst thing I saw as a valet in Tacoma.
Huh. I mean, did you point out to him, sir, I'm a valet?
I thought you would have something completely different to say.
The guy that drove in with him was like, you gotta get help. Help me get him out. I was like, I cannot touch this man. I can get somebody for you, but I cannot touch this person. It was a pretty intense situation.
Now, is it that you couldn't touch him because those are the valet rules, or you couldn't touch him because you are not dealing with a bone sticking out of the man's leg?
Kind of both. I don't know how to pick this person up without possibly making it worse. And I'm paid to drive cars, man. I wish I could help, but I don't want to make the situation worse, you know?
Damn. Where were you working? Hotel Murano? Who has valets down there?
No, it was Good Sam. That was at a hospital.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you're valeting at a hospital, but you're not getting involved.
No. Yeah, just valet. That's all we do. So I was at the emergency department. Pull up. We take your car. You go into the ER. And then we park your car from there. But we're not allowed to help with anybody medically. We're just valets.
Well, how many different weird things did you see then? Because if you're the valet at the emergency door, obviously. Mm-hmm. I come pulling up. Nothing good is going on in my vehicle. So
no.
And obviously, I'm in a hurry.
A lot of ODs, a lot of stabbing, such like that. But that was probably the most horrific thing that I physically saw.
Yeah, like when you open the door, what are you, like, emergency bed for what?
Yeah, I mean.
No, it was a lot of craziness on a regular basis. And we opened up, so I was there at 4:30 in the morning downtown Tacoma. And so nothing ever good.
No, there's no change.
I mean, that's still working hours for people that are in that line of work.
That is exactly it. Yeah, we call those the Aurora hours.
Yeah.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-RIDE.
Teetering that line between the last customer and the first customer of the day.
That's exactly it. Am I last in line or first? Do most hospitals have valet? I've never thought to look. Is that a normal thing? Because I get it. You pull up to the emergency room, right? You're obviously in a hurry, hence an emergency. But I've never thought to look. I did not realize that was something. Because, Miles, you told the story yesterday where you basically had to crawl around the outside of the hospital.
Yeah.
But you just tossed your keys to, like, an employee, right? And asked him to do you a favor.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't a valet.
Well, I was parked right in front of the door.
Yeah.
So when I finally got back into my car and drove it all the way around the hospital, it was one of those, you know, where you pull in and you're literally 6 feet away from the double.
But it wasn't a valet, right? It was just some dude like in scrubs.
It was a dude with ambulance driver. It was like, man, please park this thing for me.
Okay.
I just threw him my keys and he came back in and ended up putting me in a wheelchair because the emergency room was pretty busy that day. So
funny thing about emergency rooms.
Yeah, because I'm still like, you know, just I hopped into the emergency room. There was no place to sit. He's just like, here, dude, just sit in this chair.
No one offered you a seat. I mean, it just seems like if someone's crawling in, like, hey, you know,
exactly,
man.
I mean, I held on. I was doing the best I can.
You can tell when someone can't walk. I mean, I'd be like, bro.
If you saw my leg, you'd be like, oh, God, somebody get this guy a seat. Good good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
I'd like to know when offered you one. Hello, Ramon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, mofos.
Hola.
Hey, I was just calling about, unfortunately, it's about an accident I seen. I grew up on North Beacon Hill, right off of I-90, and I seen a gentleman running from the state troopers coming towards Beacon Hill on I-90, and right at the Beacon Hill entrance, they had high curbs that were probably a foot to 18 inches. Well, this guy had a car that looked exactly like the Dukes of Hazzard car. Running from the police, he hit the curb doing over 100 miles an hour.
Oh.
Unfortunately, from the impact from hitting the curb, it drove his motor onto his lap. So he was sitting there screaming.
And
I was just probably 11 or 12 years old, and the guy from the news station, I imagine it was Como 4 News, I believe, he was trying to distract us by giving us cherries off the tree, and we're trying to see what's going on in the car because the guy is just screaming.
The reporter did his best, and I get it, but like, man, if you're looking at a group of 10-year-old boys, there's a man with a motor sitting on his lap screaming, nothing's going to distract
him. I'm surprised TV got there that quick, but, you know, either way.
Yeah, it was something else. I see a lot of car accidents down there. I've seen a Chevron truck tip over, blow up in flames.
Jesus.
But that one with a guy screaming and his motor sitting on his lap, and he's just burning the heck out of him.
How long was this going on?
It must have been a half hour to 45 minutes before they were able to extract him. And I don't know if he may have amputated his knees just to get him out of there, because I imagine that was like a 383 motor, big block sitting on his lap. So it may have amputated it by just the impact.
Yeah. Or it could have burned him. I mean, you gotta remember how hot that engine is.
Did you stay there the whole time watching this?
Oh, yeah, but of course, we're kids.
I mean, even as an adult, I would, man. I mean, that's, wow.
Yeah, it was something I'll never forget. That's from, you know, and unfortunately, it has to be something like that. But, yeah. It was,
well, I mean, you remember stuff as kids. I joke around about Herky in a house burning down, but when his house caught on fire.
Well, you made it funny. I mean, it's not a funny story, but you made it funny. This tragic event, you made funny. So now every time you bring him up, even though we know it doesn't end well, we already smile.
Right.
Man.
That's just a wild way to start a sentence.
Well, okay.
That's a funny story about the house burning down.
Listen, yeah. Herky's younger brother, all right? He, you know how early on, some people just, either from a hearing issue or whatever, as far as speech goes, they don't develop it until later on. Or
sure.
Figure out all. And I don't know if it was the fact that he had baby teeth missing or what. What I'm saying is there was something going on with his mouth, because he was perfectly fine, but he just had a hard time speaking. Okay, that makes sense. I don't know if he's like tongue-tied or whatever the deal was, but I mean, it is.
Did he not have a disability?
No.
Oh, I thought these years he had a disability.
No, he just he,
it could
he,
be
he
like
had
my
speech,
daughter
had a speech
with
impediment.
The whatever that little thing is on the bottom of your tongue. Right. Ooh. We talked to the speech therapist, and I said, look, she could talk. The problem is, hers is shorter than most people's, so just certain sounds you make, she's going to work harder at it. That may have been Herky's. And his name's Herky.
Well, Herky's the older brother. Jason is the younger brother. I helped Jason was a quarterback in high school. And we ended up practicing together, and I'm throwing balls and teaching him what I've been taught. But him running around in his pajamas, and he was probably 5, 6, 7 years old at the time, and, you know, his mom's trying to calm everybody down. The fire crew is there. The house is, I mean, it's engulfed in flames. You don't understand how hot it is. And he's running back and forth on the street, you know, like a kid on Adderall. But he's just being a kid, but the adrenaline. And he's just screaming, Hunky, Hunky, the house is on fire. And I like this whole image.
I mean, it's not fun.
Nobody went, he kept saying it over and over and over. His mom is sitting there, like everybody, but he's only addressing his brother.
Right.
You know, the entire time. Because I think he just got some kind of like game station or something.
Oh, and it's burning up in there.
Oh, it's burning. He's losing his mind because he just got like 4 or 5 new cartridges, 4 or 5 new games.
Oh, yeah. That's all he cares about.
But he hid them underneath his pillow. And actually, 2 or 3 of the cartridges survived. The game system burned down.
Sure.
But believe it or not, the cartridges survived being under a feather pillow for whatever reason.
He used to make games proper back then.
Hunky, Hunky. Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.